Now, before we get to our top story, really the big story today concerning the discovery of two bodies thought to be those alleged killers on the run in Manitoba, Toronto police just sending out a tweet about a chemical hazard. Now, it's at College Subway Station. Reports of a noxious substance released. It's making people cough. It's making them sick. The TTC is actually evacuating that station, and subway trains are bypassing it. Now, that was at last check. Maybe they've sounded the all clear by now, but if you're a betting man, we've seen these before.
I am, Dave.
You are a betting man. I would put my money on pepper spray because we've seen it before. There's always some jerk that decides it'll be funny to release some pepper spray in a subway station or a mall or a store, anywhere else where, it does linger and it spreads out and everybody's impacted by it. So we'll keep an eye on that. But at this point, this TTC subway, this is a College Station. They're dealing with that chemical hazard.
Yeah, it's interesting because you say pepper spray. I actually had, if you've ever been in a room, and it happened to me when I was in school, somebody sprayed pepper spray, thought it was funny to do, and it hits you pretty quick when you're in a confined space.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as simple as that, really. Yeah. And we've seen these stories before, so likely another one, but we'll get the final answer on whether, in fact, it was pepper spray.
The big story I guess people are concentrating on in our newsroom all day is something that broke just after 3 o'clock.
That's right. It was Friday, July 12th. Two teens from BC headed out on the road. Their families believe they were going to Whitehorse to find work. Then it was Tuesday, July 23rd. The RCMP revealed those young men, they're suspects in 3 murders in BC. The next day, a burnt-out vehicle found in the Gillam region in northern Manitoba, about 1,000 kilometers from Winnipeg. It had been stolen by the suspects. Then really not much since the Mounties released some video surveillance footage of the two men. They were in a Saskatchewan store. They were hoping that might trigger someone to remember, oh yeah, I gave them a lift. I didn't realize they were on the run and help them track them down. There was also a report the suspects were spotted near a dump in the Gillam region. But it wasn't until Sunday. An aluminum boat is found on the shore of the Nelson River there. Yesterday, some items belonging to the suspects were found along the shoreline of that very same river. And now today, the manhunt has ended.
This morning, at approximately 10 a.m., RCMP officers located two male bodies in the dense brush within 1 kilometer from where the items were found. This is approximately 8 kilometers from where the burnt vehicle was located. At this time, we believe these are the bodies of the two suspects wanted in connection with the homicides in British Columbia.
Some in the newsroom, it's the only 8 kilometers part that stands out. How did they not find them by now? Now, the Mounties today, they kept talking about how dense that brush is there. We've heard in the past, somebody says, if you want to hide, it's not too difficult to hide. Just how dense it is there. Nothing yet on how they died. We await the autopsy results. Hopefully it was a painful death. News Talk 1010 crime specialist, former homicide detective Mark Mendelson. He talks about what we should learn from this autopsy.
We will get an answer as to the cause of death, the nature of the death, the mechanism of death. Was it exposure? Was it animals? Was it a double suicide? Was it a murder-suicide? We'll get some information on that. What we won't get, unfortunately, is any indication as to what the motivation for these 3 killings was.
And that's the difficult part there. Nothing yet on whether the 18 and 19-year-old left any sort of note, any sort of explanation that might help provide closure for the victims' families concerning why did they do it?
Yeah, and that's going to be the big question here, the why. And, I mean, we can speculate all we want as to the number of things that led up to it when it comes to video games, when it comes to, you know, any variety of things, as we can the cause of death in a situation like this. The 8 kilometers, I'm on the fence about. I know I've heard some criticisms to say, well, how could you just go past that? I think it almost oversimplifies how these type of searches work in areas like this. If you're somebody from the city of Toronto or even the GTHA and that's your environment, you have no idea the terrain we're talking about.
Yeah, and you think about some, I believe they're, well, we've seen them. We've seen York Regional Police use them. They're heat sensors. So they'll go over a neighborhood and they can tell if there's a high heat sensor in an attic, for example. They know that someone's growing marijuana there. They can tell those sorts of things. But We don't know really what order it came in. If you look back, it was quite some time ago. The burnt out vehicle was July 24th. So essentially you're looking at 2 weeks. So maybe it was shortly after. It's not an understanding of how it all worked out and how that timing came to be.
Yeah, you're right. Because the burnt out vehicle could have been there. They may not have been. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right. They could have come back to that location knowing that they, wanted to be there, had to be there. Mm-hmm. There was something around there that they made a bit. There's so many different parts of the story. Now, I will give the RCMP, because I think we're quick to criticize, those in officialdom when they don't give us information. I think the RCMP has done a good job of keeping the media posted on these type of things.
Yeah, they were pretty good. They held the updates. They told us about the aluminum boat that they found, said maybe it's not connected. They told us about, obviously, the personal items, which they say was the key. They knew to focus on that area after that. Then they brought in the specialized teams, or maybe brought them back because they were starting to phase it out. And that was finally when, a click away from there, they discovered these bodies. We're not sure if they were side by side. And then that's where all the questions come. How did they take their own lives? Was there some sort of dispute? I hope they were eaten by bears, but that's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Chris Lewis even talked about the idea if their bodies, and I don't want to be graphic about it, but it's the truth of the matter. If their bodies were there, if they even took their own lives, let's say it was a double suicide, then that's not to say that animals didn't rip them apart for food.
True.
At some point.
Mm-hmm. True. Enough that they know, it seems like they know it's them. And I'm wondering if obviously two tall kids and one of them was still in the, we've seen the footage over and over again in the full camo gear that he was wearing. But, and they said those items yesterday were connected to them. But finally, a conclusion, it's just, are there any answers? You hope for a note that says, this is what happened. Because was it something that was premeditated? They went out with the intention of murdering? Or was it something that just came to be in a situation?
And then they panicked.
And then they got
into the murdering phase of things.
And it went on the run.
The other part of it, I think, you know, we live in a world where everybody wants things tied up in a neat bow. And sometimes the world doesn't provide that. Sometimes the news in today's world, and I mean, you know this better than anybody, you don't get that perfectly packaged narrative at the end of something like this.
Yeah. But, I mean, this autopsy, it sounds like we're going to be able to get at least the first chunk of information in the coming days, in the early days. And we did hear from Chris earlier that they'll be needing to have some conversations with the family members first. And maybe they're going to share some personal information that could have been found on the bodies or near the area to help clarify some of these clues, both of those who were murdered, but also the families of these boys themselves. Because that's got to be a whole other kind of hurt to know that, assuming these murders happened by these two, right, they still are suspects, that to imagine being the parents of these two boys, that would be unfathomable as a parent to deal with that.
The other thing I was going to ask you, because we often go behind the scenes in the newsroom when it comes to these type of stories, I'm guessing you guys prepared for two different scenarios. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the scenario of these two being walked out of the bush in handcuffs is a lot different than them being found dead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially then we get the answers we wanted in the aspect of where were they hiding all along. We were hoping, we talked about that yesterday, we were hoping for that scenario, that would be the outcome to provide those answers. But at the end of the day, the prevailing theory was, and you heard it from a lot of people, that they were going to end up dead. And that's exactly what it was.
Including the two of us last week.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the truth of the matter.
Yeah, there's still aspects we don't know. Where were they found in the brush? Was it a little inlet off of the river? I mean, because there's still the speculation, if the items were found on the shoreline of the river, was there aspects and that dented boat that they could have drowned? So they haven't really specified, were they found in water? I guess they did say really dense brush in the area, but still many questions.
Let's talk about some things closer to home. St. Mike's back in the news.
Yeah, another update. At least one of the boys charged in connection with the hazing scandal at St. Michael's College in Toronto could return to the private school this fall. The prosecution has dropped all three charges against him. After a comprehensive review of the case, it says there's no way he could get a conviction. And it turns out, as his lawyer tells News Talk 1010, he was never actually expelled from the school. Now, earlier reports, you'll recall, indicated all those charged had been tossed out of the school. Turns out this boy wasn't. Nothing yet on whether he plans to return to St. Mike's. Six other kids still face charges related to the two alleged sexual assaults and one alleged assault related to the football program, allegedly happened on school grounds last fall. The incidents led to the resignations of the school's top two officials. Now, we'll have more news on St. Mike's next week because we get our hands on a report outlining what sort of new measures the school has implemented to prevent this sort of thing from happening again and warranting, the reinstatement of the football program a year ahead of schedule.
Which I'm still uncomfortable with.
Me as well. And I'm waiting to see how this, we tried to get details earlier on. Be specific. What have you done to address this issue moving forward? And it was very vague what they came out with. Coaches more training, but it seemed like it had already occurred in the past. So, yeah, we're waiting for specifics on how do you fix something like this.
See, I'm wondering, and I asked this question last week when you weren't here, so maybe we can get moving on something with it. But for me, is enrollment down? And is that the reason they had to bring this football program back?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question.
Right, because you've got grade 7s and 8s in that universe at St. Mike's. You know, is that something where parents are saying, nope, sorry, if you don't have a football program, you've got this controversy hanging over you. My kid's just not going there.
Interesting.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. Now, getting enrollment numbers.
Getting those numbers would be a challenge. But I leave that to you because you're good at asking the hard questions and doing the tough work. We go from one school to another.
Yeah, principal. Principal at a school in Hamilton accused of sexually assaulting a female student. Now, this was at Ryerson Elementary School. Police say the investigation started in the new year, January. Sexual assault allegedly happened the 2017 school year. We're going to guess that's obviously 2017 into 2018. Nothing on the age of the child, but considering the school involves grades 6 to 8, she would have to have been between the ages of 11 and 13. 54-year-old Dan Ivankovich has been charged with sexual assault and sexual interference. He's also been a principal at Rosedale Elementary, that was until 07, and Viscount Montgomery Elementary School. Investigators, they're worried there may be more alleged victims. The school board says it's shocked, it's saddened by all this. The accused has been, as we often see, the accused is sent home. It's going to stay there until this case makes its way through the courts and a decision, a verdict comes down.
Yeah, and again, we have to be very careful. This is somebody who's been accused, and I always tread carefully in these type of situations because you want to make sure that the facts are correct, that the evidence is correct, and that it lines up to lead to a conviction if, in fact, that person is guilty.
And the truth is, we've done stories about
sexual
assaults and children claiming sexual assault that have turned out to be completely false. You know, it was an aspect of they were walking home and they were late and didn't want to get into trouble, so they came up with something. So,
and those
it's not
have ended
out of that
with the
realm.
Accused in some part taking their own life and what have you. And
that's right.
That's, you know, that's why you got to be very careful.
There's a stink with this that never really washes off, and that's the unfortunate nature that when you go there. Unfortunately for this principal, if he is innocent, it's never erased.
Yeah.
Not from this vortex that is 24-hour media.
Let's talk about 24-hour media, maybe 24 hours from now or at least tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it's a couple of quick updates. So York Regional Police Guns, Gangs, and Drug Enforcement Unit has scheduled a news conference. It's tomorrow. It's in Aurora. It's going to announce the results of two separate investigations, and this involves organized crime. Now, it's already given us a little teaser here. More than 50 people have been arrested in connection with these investigations. And police have seized more than $30 million in illegal drugs, guns, vehicles, and cash. And to tie it all in, we also heard from the OPP today, 15 arrests, almost 200 charges in connection with a 14-month investigation targeting outlaw motorcycle gangs. They were allegedly dealing drugs. Now, this is members and associates of the Hells Angels Nomads, Red Devils MC, Hooligans MC, Motorcycle Club. They were all arrested. They were allegedly dealing cocaine, meth, fentanyl throughout the Niagara region, Sudbury, and Ottawa.
When you say MC, it sounds tough. When you say Motorcycle Club, it sounds like a bunch of old enthusiasts that listen to Jimmy Buffett.
And they're all,
oh, what are you guys? I'm in a motorcycle club. Oh, great, Ralph.
What kind of Honda do you have?
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Let me see your hog. That's how that works.
It's like that movie with John Travolta. What was that one?
Wild Hogs.
There you go.
Martin Lawrence, Tim Allen, John Travolta, and some other guy.
Now, this is Ryan saying this to all the Hells Angels members. This is Ryan. I had nothing to do with that.
No, I'm saying keep it with MC. You just don't break it down and tell people it's a motorcycle club.
Hells Angels are good. They just went with Nomads, right? No MC in there.
Right. Nomads is even better. Are you impressed by these stories when they wheel out all the money and drugs?
To some extent. I mean, it's a dent. More than 50 people, two investigations. The problem is we get little teasers throughout, so you're never quite sure at what point they are. So often at the end, they'll do the big, hey, look what we did. But heck, 50 people, $30 million. When it comes to the motorcycle clubs, they're renowned for this sort of dealing drugs, and you have to keep on them. I saw it in Montreal firsthand. They made a huge dent in the Hells Angels that they're still trying to dig out of.
Have you watched the show Bad Blood?
No,
on
I
Netflix?
Haven't seen it.
Oh, you'd love it. It has to do everything with...
he's a good actor, too.
Yeah, the Rizzuto family in Montreal, Hamilton, the drug wars. Oh, he's great. Kim Coates, fantastic.
Yeah.
You should watch that. There's my second time I plugged that program on Netflix. There you are. You're listening to The Rush. We are here. Ryan Doyle, Savan Pavetsi, and we're talking with Dave McKee. His views on the news, they are robust today. And I've been waiting all day because Savan is big into sharks. I've been waiting for your breakdown of this shark story, Dave, only you can do.
It was simply October of last year. A guy from BC decided, hey, I'm at Ripley's Aquarium. That water looks refreshing. Why not get naked and go swimming with some sharks? I say that pretty much every time I'm there. Video of the incident helped track him down. Who could miss that backside? And he was charged with mischief. Now we're hearing a guilty plea is on the way. Yeah, no crap, man. We got you on tape. BC man accused of swimming naked, so he'll expect it. It's next month we're expecting that guilty plea. David Weaver was arrested, charged in October of last year. And they're also alleging that same night, you'll recall, he assaulted a man outside Medieval Times, broke a window. So that charge, now that's a separate, simply it's a separate process at this point. He's expected to be in court to face trial on that one, on the alleged assault in late October. But when it comes to the shark situation, looks like he's just going to plead guilty to mischief. I can't imagine what the punishment for that would be. A fine and don't be swim with sharks?
I mean, is there not part of you that hopes that he gets the book thrown at him a little? Like, the guy's acting like a complete wackadoo.
I was wondering today, where's the indecent exposure?
Yeah, isn't that part of the whole...
Were there kids around at that time?
I would guess.
Or did he sneak in at night? When
no, you know happen? What? He was there during the one of the swanky nights. It was like the jazz night that they do. So I'm guessing there weren't a lot of kids that are listening to Coltrane and watching sharks. So it seems like we should go hard at one individual on this.
Yeah, to certainly deter it from the next drunk that decides, you know what, I'm going to go swimming. You know, what's the worst that can happen?
There are signs everywhere now, though, because I was there a couple of weeks ago that say don't even think about
it. Is that right?
Yeah. Like, don't swim with the sharks. Don't, even if you're touching them, what are the things I
little rays, yeah.
The little stingrays. Manta rays there, or stingrays. If you're touching those, don't get your hands anywhere near the sharks. Just basically, leave the sharks alone. They're sharks, you moron.
I wish it had bit them. I just won. That would be the best answer to all this, right? Just one just chomped it right off, gone.
Or the other way. They're looking for a man with 1.5 cheeks, right? Very easy to find.
I've always wanted to be bit by a shark. I thought it would be the coolest thing to show my scar.
What?
Not like take my leg off, but, you know, the nice little oval,
like the
you know,
scar,
the teeth
scar.
Mark. And you'd be like, yeah, so bit by a shark.
Did you know, Dave, that they have 12 rows of teeth, these sharks? So even when they bite into you, there's another set ready to go.
It sounds like marriage.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's bite into some Foodora. What's going on with
that? Yeah, Foodora couriers in Toronto are accusing, actually, let's be honest here, a union is accusing Foodora of spreading lies and misinformation, trying to scare them into voting no when a union certification vote gets started on Friday. So some of the food delivery workers are trying to join the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. CUPW has filed an unfair labor practice complaint against Foodora. It says the company's threatening the income of its couriers through emails, directly messaging them on the app. This vote could create the country's first ever certified bargaining unit of app-based workers. Union claims the couriers intend to negotiate a better compensation model, health and safety protections, recognition for some of their basic human rights. And the vote starts on Friday, ends next Tuesday. Now, you're supposed to take this all with a grain of salt because the news release actually comes from CUPW. So it's trying to get these individuals to sign off on certification. So, you know, there might be a little bit of a slant to it.
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, fine folks assembled in the room, but CUPW also represents another powerful group of people, or used to be powerful group of people. Don't they represent postal workers?
You got it.
And what industry is dwindling and dying? The Postal Service.
Yeah.
So they need somebody else.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing. They're throwing their fish hook into the water.
Delivery workers.
Avoiding shark guy, and then trying to find somebody to latch on to keep unions alive. That's all this is.
Yeah.
Okay, but the working conditions of some of these, this has got to be an awful, you know, lifestyle in some cases. So it's a 36 degree day. It's a flood in the streets of Toronto. Mm-hmm. There's no health benefits. There's no break. Like,
is this not supposed
something...
to be a side hustle? This is not your 9-to-5.
But don't you think there's more and more people in the city that are relying on the gig economy to pay all the bills?
Sure, but that doesn't mean you unionize and then put it to the man, because then you're going to be careful what you wish for, because you're going to find yourself out of a job if that's the case.
So is there something in the middle then that brings different kinds of benefits to employees that are in this economy, the delivery economy, the gig economy, because on one extreme it might be the union, and on the other there's nothing. And it would seem as more people enter this field, Uber drivers, delivery food, that there's got to be something, doesn't there, to protect them?
I'm somewhere in the middle myself, because it seems like it's a bit of a loophole. It's like the individuals that say, oh, we don't host BitTorrents on our site. Mm-hmm. In other words, we don't have stolen movies on our site. We just give you access to the torrents where you can then go get the stolen movies. The same sort of thing. It's as if we're not employing these people. We just provide them with an avenue to get, as you say, a side hustle. But as it moves to more and more where people are using it as full-time jobs.
All right, but would everybody be okay then with Foodora saying, okay, well, we just won't do that. We'll hire our own delivery drivers. There you go. The door's closed.
Look at Amazon.
There went your gig economy.
And Amazon's doing it right now.
Yeah.
FedEx just got out of bed with them because they're trying to create their own delivery service.
So,
but maybe they would. Then Foodora would hire all these people.
But they wouldn't hire everybody. That's the point,
yeah.
Right? And then you're waiting longer for food. Dave's cranky.
I know. I order all the time from these apps.
Their biggest customer. It's an interesting one. I get where you're both coming from. I like a good dog story.
Yeah, this is why dogs are the best, and cats are snobby little freeloaders. Police letting us know about a dog that chased away two thieves in Oshawa. It happened yesterday afternoon. It was just before 2, Park Road South. Two suspects were inside the victim's home. There was an argument. One of the suspects pulls out a gun, demands the victim's gold dental grill.
Yeah, boy!
Yeah, Flavor Flav, the original grill master. Here's a tip. If you're going to try and steal someone's dental grill, make sure his muscular, nasty Rottweiler with an average bite force of 328 pounds per square inch is tied up.
The victim then was struggling with the suspect, and then the dog, the homeowner's dog, at that point lunged towards one of the suspects, biting him, and then chasing them out of that residence and down the street where police were nearby.
We needed this with Shark Guy, right? This would have fixed that right away. Turns out it was a replica gun.
Can Rottweiler swim?
Yeah. Wasn't a replica bite. Minor injuries. Two men in their early 20s face a number of charges, including my all-time favorite, breach of recognizance, next to, you know, parole violation.
Yeah, right. What were you doing out there in the first place?
I know. He's a breach of recognizance. He's got a replica gun on him.
You actually have a Jussie Smollett update?
Yes. Yes. Apparently he's not going to be on Empire. He's been, that's it. They've decided he will not be on the...
It took a while.
Yeah, it really did. And upcoming final season, he will not be part of it. The co-creator had initially supported Smollett, but then after he was charged, he basically called the matter painful and frustrating. Now, those charges were dropped, but yeah, that's when police stepped forward and said, this dude's guilty as hell, so don't buy any of this. And now they've said, no, they're dropping him for the final season.
Who will play Lucius Lyon's not-so-entertaining son? I like the other kid. The other kid's great.
I've never seen this show.
I've watched Empire since it started.
You like
really?
It?
Yeah. I like the show. I think it's cutting edge.
It's good.
It's entertaining. For cable. For basic TV, rather. Like, it's not a... It doesn't get pushed to limits like an HBO show would, but it is what it is. You want to finally just end with some lifts?
No. We can skip this story. It was dumb anyways.
Okay.
Through it. It was filler rhyme.
Oh, filler.
Desperation, just in case we move quick.
You're all killer, no filler, my friend. That's what I referred to Dave McKee as, with his views on the news.